بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. الحمد لله. It's been a few days. الحمد لله على العافية. And today's chapter, we're a little bit behind, but inshallah we'll be fine. Today's chapter is chapter 46. And chapter 46 is quite short, and chapter 47 is quite long. So we'll just cover this chapter today, and the next chapter we'll cover over a couple of days. As we've mentioned before, Imam al-Bukhari, in this work, Kitab al-Riqaq, in Sahih al-Bukhari, is presenting a certain order of narrations that are supposed to be heart-softening and reminding. And so after talking about death and the soul being taken, and then descriptions of the Day of Judgment, he continues with some descriptions of Yawm al-Qiyamah. And this chapter is titled, Bab, Inna Zalzalata Sa'ati Shay'un Azeem, which is the chapter based on the very first verse in Surah Al-Hajj, where Allah Ta'ala says, indeed, the quaking of the final hour is a tremendous matter. So here Allah Ta'ala is using the word zalzala. Zalzala means earthquake. And then Imam al-Bukhari mentions another part to this chapter title, the part of the verse in Surah An-Najm, where Allah says, Azifatil azifa. And then he explains, Iqtarabati sa'a. The approaching hour has drawn near. And he explains what that means linguistically, which is exactly what we translated. So this hadith is basically about the experiences of Yawm al-Qiyamah. Now, one of the things we see is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the creator of the heavens and the earth, He puts signs in this world, signs in the creation, signs in ourselves. And these signs are pointing to Allah Ta'ala's creative power and His wisdom and His knowledge. But He also has signs that remind us of the inevitability of the Day of Judgment. When you look at the many, many narrations about the signs of the last day, we know that there's major signs and minor signs. Many of the scholars say that the minor signs that appear are reminders of the major signs. And many of the major signs are, as it were, a kind of dress rehearsal, for lack of a better term, dress rehearsal for the Day of Judgment. And so Allah Ta'ala mentions an earthquake. Allah Ta'ala mentions also the eclipsing of the sun and the moon and their complete collapse. Do we see reflections of those in creation here in this world? We do, because we have earthquakes and we have eclipses and we have one coming up. And these are reminders of similar but greater events that will take place when the Day of Judgment commences. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about the kusuf, the eclipse, he said the sun is not eclipsed due to the death of any one of you or any leader. Rather, it is a sign by which Allah instills fear in the hearts of His servants. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us the proper response to that sign, and that is to turn to salat and to be reminded of the Day of Judgment. And we have earthquakes in this world as well. We just had one a few days ago, didn't we? And off the coast of Taiwan. And these are all reminders of the inevitability of the Day of Judgment. They're not just raw material happenings without a divine hand causing them as a reminder. So Imam al-Bukhari, he pins two hadith only in this chapter. He says, حَدَّثَنَا إِسْمَعِيلِ إِبْنُ أَبَّانِ حَدَّثَنَا عِيسَى إِبْنُ يُونَسِ حَدَّثَنَا أَبُو عَوْنِ إِبْنُ عَوْنِ عَنْ نَافِعٍ عَنْ إِبْنِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ قَالَ يَقُومُ أَحَدُهُمْ فِي رَشْحِهِ إِلَى أَنْصَافِ أُذُنَيْهِ. So this comes from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, who says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said regarding the verse in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, on the day when all of mankind will stand before the Lord of the worlds. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam commented about this ayah, saying, they shall stand drowned in their sweat up to the middle of their ears. And I'll read the next hadith and we'll put them both together because it's on the same theme. He says, حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدُ الْعَزِيزِ إِبْنُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ قَالَ حَدَّثَنِي سُلَيْمَانَ عَنْ ثَوْرِ إِبْنِ زَيْدِ عَنْ أَبِي الْغَيْثِ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ يَعْرُقُ النَّاسُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يَذْهَبَ عَرَقُهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ 70 ذِرَاعًا وَيُلْجِمُهُمْ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ آذَانَهُمْ. Abu Huraira relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the people on the Day of Judgment will sweat so profusely that their sweat will sink 70 cubits deep into the earth, and it will rise up till it reaches the people's mouths and ears. So these are two hadith out of several that speak about a particular experience on the Day of Judgment. And that is people sweating until it reaches deep into the earth, and even beyond that, going up higher and higher, submerging themselves even. Now, Qadi Iyad, rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentions in his commentary on Sahih Muslim, after citing this hadith, he says it's possible that this is referring to a person's own sweat, where a person will sweat on the Day of Judgment in proportion to the fear that they will experience. It's also possible, he says, that it refers to the person's sweat and the sweat of others combined, with some experiencing more and some experiencing less. It's a very puzzling hadith because we think, according to the basic laws of physics in this life, if you're on a flat surface, number one, how is it possible that a person could sweat so much? You don't have that much water in your body. If you were to sweat all of the water out of your body, it wouldn't fill a bucket. How is it possible that a person could sweat beyond that to where it sinks 70 cubits into the earth? And this is a cubit, basically the length of from the tip of your finger to your elbow. That's a cubit. That times 70, how many feet is that? It's like 100 plus feet. How is that possible? And if it's in as the person sweats, how is it possible for that to submerge them going up on a flat plane when they're standing next to others, when other people aren't experiencing that? You know, if you're in a room, a flat surface, and there's water pouring inside, it rises on the floor and everyone experiences it. The person standing next to you has the same amount of water rising on their feet, going higher and higher. But a person may be submerged in sweat, and then nearby them someone who's not, even though it's a flat plane. This shows you that the Day of Judgment is not like this world, where you have the same laws of physics. Allah Ta'ala, who created the laws of physics in this life, is the one who creates different principles there for how these things work. So the ulama tried to explain possible ways this could manifest. Now, Imam al-Bayhaqi, rahmatullahi alayhi, he records in his Sunan from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As that those for whom the sweat reaches their ears will be disbelievers, non-believers. And he was asked, where are the believers? And he said, they are on thrones of gold shaded by clouds. Now, if you take that narration, then what it means is that the hadith is talking about an-nas as a general term, but it means specifically disbelievers. We call that am makhsus. We touched on this before, a few weeks ago, that in the Arabic language, like other languages, you have to be intelligent. Sometimes a general word is used, but it means a specific group. An example, in Surah An-Nasr, what does Allah Ta'ala say? إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. and you see the people entering the religion of Allah in droves. An-nas here, does it mean every single human being across the face of the earth?
No.
It means the people of Mecca, and then by extension, the people of Ta'if. So that is a general statement. Am, nas, people, but it's makhsus. It is specified to the people of Mecca. So some of the scholars say that this hadith, or these hadith, which talk about an-nas, who are experiencing sweat reaching up to their earlobes, is actually particular to disbelievers, and that Muslims don't experience this. This is the opinion of some ulama. However, Imam Ibn Abi Jamra, in his commentary on his summary of Al-Bukhari, he says that the zahir of the hadith, the apparent wording, indicates that it's actually general for all people. But we see from other hadith texts that it's specific for some people and not for everybody. So we know that not every believer is going to be submerged in sweat like that. So it's already makhsus by other hadith. So prophets, martyrs, righteous people, they're not going to be submerged in sweat on the Day of Judgment. They'll be spared from that. Now, after putting these two together, Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, he says, kind of reflecting on what's the benefit of even putting these hadith here. If we're talking about heart-softening narrations, what is the benefit of hearing these? And Ibn Hajar says that the benefit of these hadith is that the one who hears them will be aware and take the means of deliverance, of salvation from these terrors by hastening to make tawbah, to seek repentance, and to clear their account of anything they have vis-a-vis other people, whether that's debts or sins or offenses. And that's the ultimate benefit of all of these things. And when a person hears these hadith, there's a certain curiosity about exactly how it's going to look and who it applies to and who it doesn't apply to. But at the end of the day, these narrations should be taken and turned inwardly, where a person says, I would rather sweat in this life, literally and figuratively, by doing what I have to do and striving to please Allah Ta'ala while relying on Him and not my actions, than to be put in a position where I'll be sweating perhaps up to my earlobes on the Day of Judgment. And if you sweat in this life, the more you sweat in mujahada and goodness in this life, literally and physically, and literally and figuratively, the less you sweat on the Day of Judgment. It's very similar to what they say regarding combat training, you know, and MMA and all of these things. They have a very famous saying: the more you sweat in training, the less you bleed in combat. Mm-hmm. So the more you sweat in this life, literally and figuratively, by tawbah, by mujahada, by seeking the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, the less you'll sweat on the Day of Judgment, literally and metaphorically through intense fear. So Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani, he says, the benefit of hearing these, a person will hasten to tawbah and turn to Al-Kareem Al-Wahhab and ask him to facilitate the means of safety, and will turn to him asking for protection and deliverance from the abode of perdition, and ask him to be admitted into the abode of honor with his blessings and grace. It says blessings and grace. It's not just due to your actions. The actions are a means, and Allah bestows you with those actions and blesses you with them. They are the means. But ultimately, salvation is rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us that. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.